Hey everyone, well, welcome to Stutter Talk at episode 582 for June 11th, 2016, the physical exhaustion of stuttering edition. I'm Peter Reitzis in Carrboro, North Carolina, using some good voluntary fake pseudo stuttering. Joined today via Skype by Sarah Berkowitz in Chicago. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
Great to have you on air. You made a post on Stuttering Arena that, as soon as I saw it, I thought that's a topic we have to talk about directly on air. And it's such a short post, I'm just going to read it now. You wrote a few days ago, quote, "Does anyone else ever feel physically exhausted from their stutter? Sometimes I feel like I just ran a marathon." So I'm going to introduce you, and then I'm going to ask you a bunch about that quote and the response and your thoughts. Does that sound okay to you?
Yeah, sounds great.
Great. Sarah Berkowitz is a 17-year-old senior at Adlai E. Stevenson High School. Sarah aims for a career working with children with special needs. She is one of the founding board members of SAES Chicago chapter, that's the Stuttering Association for the Young. And recently, Sarah Berkowitz performed at SAES 14th Annual Benefit Gala and is one of the authors of SAE Storytellers Volume 1, links at stuttertalk.com, episode 582. And I just want to mention to listeners, from time to time, Stutter Talk has on young adults who are under the age of 18, and folks should know that we always ask for parental consent. So I'm so glad you are joining us today. So I'm going to reread that quote of yours from the Stuttering Arena Facebook group and then ask you about it. So you wrote, "Does anyone else ever feel physically exhausted from their stutter? Sometimes I feel like I just ran a marathon." Many, many people responded to you. One person just wrote, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." I saw a lot of yeses. I saw a lot of people agreeing with you, saying things like, "Only a fellow stammerer understands." People talking about their jaws hurting. People saying, "It's physically and mentally taxing for me trying not to stutter." Why did you bring up this topic?
I'm in a documentary called My Beautiful Stutter. And he's been kind of filming me for a year, and he came to film me at my house, and he filmed me at Camp Say. But when he came here, he was interviewing me for like a solid, you know, 2 to 3 hours, and after that, it's so exhausting, and I wanted support from the stuttering community, because I feel like that's one of the aspects of stuttering that that people who don't stutter don't think about.
Yeah, I have. Well, boy, I try not to say this too much on air, but I do. My gut was, I've had the same experience, that physical exhaustion. Have you ever had your body sore from stuttering? Like, I hear people talk about having sore muscles in their body, in their stomachs, their jaws are sore. Have you ever felt any of that?
Yeah, I carry a lot of tension in my throat and mouth, and when I was younger, I had my speech therapist was worried I had vocal nodules, and they had to kind of go and see in my mouth if I had anything wrong.
I remember this story. Yeah. I heard. I think I might have heard it secondhand, and it was hilarious, but we all just felt the pain of the experience. So a person who stutters was saying how they were out and about, and they were stuttering so much and struggling so much that somebody actually thought they were choking. So they got behind them and started to do the Heimlich maneuver on them.
Oh my gosh.
And that's how much this person was struggling to move forward through speech. Now, do you feel that people who stutter, that people who don't stutter understand this about stuttering, this physical discomfort?
I don't think that people who don't stutter understand how it can be physically, hard on the stutterer's body. And I know for me, and I'm sure for other stutterers, I've had people come up to me and, you know, and ask if I'm physically okay, or try to give me a glass of water, or, you know, one time someone asked if I had a seizure, and I think that's something that needs to be more out into the general public, or the general public needs to be more aware of that side of stuttering.
So in response, and so many people responded to your post, and in response, one person wrote, "Sometimes at the end of the day, I am exhausted from talking." Do you relate to that?
I do. I do so much. Sometimes after like a long day at school, or if I have a presentation, I come home and I just don't want to talk to anyone. And my parents used to be really concerned, and they would try to push me to go out with friends. And I was like, "Mom, I don't think you get it. Like, I'm actually, you know, tired from speaking." So I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah, so I am much older than you. I am 44 years old. It pains me to say it. But my my wife is out of town, and I'm taking care of our two children, which is wonderful. And, you know, it's physically tiring. And so I'm a speech language pathologist in the schools, and our last day of school was yesterday. And I had been up the night before with one of my children, so I was literally on like 3 hours of sleep. I was exhausted. And after the kids left school early, there was an end of the year banquet, and everybody was going, and they came by and they're like, "Oh, let's go to the banquet." And I said, "I'm sorry. I just can't sit across from people and talk for 2 to 3 hours. I can't physically do it today." And it's not just talking. It's being a person who stutters. And I could have gone and stuttered. That would have been just fine. But for me to physically have to talk on being that tired, I just would have rather sat, done my paperwork, had a quiet lunch. Anyway, take it where you will.
Yeah. So I also have, you know, passed on, speaking things or just activities if I'm too exhausted. And I also think it's not just physically exhausting. I think it can be kind of emotionally draining. Just kind of the frustration of seeing people's confused responses or pity, and just the frustration of not feeling like you aren't able to catch up to conversations. When I'm talking with my friends, I feel that it's sometimes hard to, you know, kind of jump in a conversation, because by the time I start to get my words out, the conversation is already on the next topic, and that's frustrating as well.
That is so true. I remember this time walking in Park Slope, Brooklyn on 14th Street, and I was talking with my good friend Andy, and I just couldn't get a word in. I should say he was talking. I was not talking. And I finally said to him something, a phrase that my speech therapist had given me. You know, he said, "Well, why don't you just try saying, It's hard for me to get in. I'd like a turn to talk now. And I said, turned to Annie. I said, hey, man, I stutter. It's really hard for me to get in. Can I have a turn to talk now? Now, I don't know if I've only done that once in my life or a few times in my life, but having done that and having him just be like, oh, yeah, sure, dude, I still feel empowered by it to this day. So it's more than just the act of doing it. It's knowing that that I can, that that's in my repertoire. But this is about you. This isn't about me. And I keep talking. This is Stutter Talk. Peter Wrights is here with Sarah Berkowitz. So on the Did I Stutter website, there's a few sentences that have been discussed on Stutter Talk before by the B team, and I want to present them to you. So this is from the Did I Stutter website, their main page. Quote, stuttering is only a problem, in fact, is only abnormal because our culture places so much value on efficiency and self-mastery. Stuttering breaks communication only because ableist notions have already decided how fast and smooth a person must speak to be heard and taken seriously. Do you agree with that statement or do you have a problem with it?
I completely disagree with that statement. Well, maybe stuttering is a problem in itself. We know stuttering is a real diagnosable disorder with a cause, and that is not caused by society's pressure to decide how fast or slow a stutterer should speak. You know, stuttering stuttering itself is separate from what society believes someone should sound like.
I tend to agree with you, and I remember when I first entered stuttering self-help, I met a few people. I was very, very covert. I was passing as fluent, and a number of people I met suggested to me I shouldn't be part of the stuttering community. I shouldn't be attending the National Stuttering Association because I didn't stutter enough because I was so covert. And by the way, this was not the majority. This was just a few people, but I had to find different people to hang out with, and I sure did. So I sort of felt excluded from the stuttering world by a few people. So, I mean, how does it make you feel when you hear or read something like stuttering is only a problem, in fact, is only abnormal because our culture places so much value on efficiency and self-mastery?
That makes me feel like people are denying that stuttering is a real problem, which, you know, of course, I'm sure we all have had people who have made rude comments and who think that they are experts on stuttering and have these kind of misconceptions, and they believe that stuttering is caused by anxiety or that stuttering is for attention. And that's very frustrating because, you know, at least for me, I'm not doing this voluntarily or for attention. You know, it can be physically exhausting and have an emotional toll, and that's very upsetting because it makes me feel like people do not take stuttering seriously as an issue, and I think that's something that needs to be addressed.
Excellent points. And I want to ask you about a comment that somebody made on under your post regarding either speech therapy or just changing how you talk. But before we get to that, I know that you're very active in, say, the Stuttering Association for the Young. What is it that you get from, say, Why do you go to the gala? Why are you so involved with this wonderful organization, say.org?
I love Say because it's, I feel like I didn't know how much I needed a community of people who stuttered to support me until I had one. And I think it's so important to have, you know, a family of people who stutter to kind of have your back and to understand when people say rude things or when you have a bad day or when, like me, I don't have any people who stutter who are who live near me or who are close to me. So to have that community to kind of be like, yeah, we get you. That's so important. And it's important for young stutterers to feel like they have a home and that, you know, there's always going to be someone to have their back.
I'm so glad that you are involved and you're doing this work. I certainly, when I was your age, I there was no type of supportive chapter near me, and we didn't know about any of this talking about stuttering stuff, learning about stuttering from other stutterers. So I'm just thanks for being out there.
Thank you.
So I'm going to read your original post again and then a comment that somebody left. So you wrote, "Does anyone ever feel physically exhausted from their stutter? Sometimes I feel like I just ran a marathon." And somebody wrote, "This part of our stutter is mostly ignored. I thought I was alone in this case, but reading this post changed my thinking. Now..." And then they go on, "Now, do you know any technique to overcome or minimize it? Why do we..." I'll just stop it there. So I know you're not a speech language pathologist. I'm not asking you to give advice to everybody in the world. But is there anything that you do to minimize this physical and emotional toll of stuttering?
Well, first of all, I would have responded to that comment had I seen it. There are so many comments from so many wonderful people who are supporting each other. But for me, I know that over years, you know, I've tried various speech techniques, and I feel like a lot of them work. This might be, I'm not sure if this is politically correct, so if it's not, take it out. But at least for me, I find that some of the techniques, while they work in the office, it's so difficult to use them in the outside world because, like, it's like trying to think about so many things. You're thinking about what you're actually saying, and then you're supposed to think about your tongue placement or when you should breathe and all this stuff. And I think that, you know, that might be difficult, and I know I've developed some secondary behaviors, which is another thing that's not, you know, that's not publicly talked about. From my stutter, if I'm having a stutter, I look away and I don't have eye contact. You know, I feel because it's so... I don't like seeing people's reactions on their faces when I speak, and that's kind of, well, I don't know, but that's like, you know, from my anxiety from my stutter, which is different from the stutter cause, which is different from the stutter being caused by anxiety, but the stutter causing anxiety. And I feel that I actually stutter more when I'm so tense and uptight trying not to stutter. My body gets very tense when I just need to try and relax my mouth. But I don't, for me, the minimizing techniques that I find work the best are the phrasing and, breathing in after short phrases.
So just to give an example, so would phrasing be something like this? This is Stutter Talk. My guest today is Sarah Berkowitz, who lives in Chicago and is a board member of SAY, the Stuttering Association for the Young. Something like that?
Yeah, exactly. I kind of think of it, it's kind of speaking how politicians speak, kind of for dramatic effect, and they pause in certain places to emphasize words.
Yeah, and I agree with you completely, but the example I would give is a rabbi or a chaplain of some sort,
yeah,
rather
exactly.
than a politician.
Yeah, same thing.
Especially in this political year.
Well, yes, this year especially.
Yeah, and I should clarify that you are a board member of, say, Chicago chapter. Yeah. What a great group. Let me ask you this. So part of that question about how do you know any techniques to overcome or minimize your stuttering? Do you think that participating in SAY somehow minimizes the challenging effects of stuttering, or put it in your own words?
I feel like SAY, I mean, there is speech therapy through SAY, which helps, but I feel that just having that community of having people there to support you, it helps with the kind of emotional toll that stuttering can have, and having that great support system is for me the most important aspect of of being a person who stutters, is to have people who support me and who understand me.
So I haven't been in high school for a very long time, but in your high school experience, how much do you feel that stuttering is, I don't know what the right word for it is, I mean, how sensitive are people are to your stuttering? Like, do you feel that you can speak with a stutter in your high school and be respected and speak to your teachers about it? Or do you face daily struggles with your stuttering in school?
Well, one of the biggest things I do, which I found works the best, which I recommend everyone does, is I email all of my teachers before the school year starts, and I kind of explain what stuttering is and isn't, and that I would still like to be called on in class. And I find that that is the most beneficial for me, and that kind of helps to minimize some anxiety I might have when it comes to having not a confrontation, but having a teacher misinterpret what I say. I think high schoolers, they're not as forward as younger kids. Like, they don't, just blatantly say, like, why do you talk like this? Blatantly rude comments, but, there are whispers and presentations and giggles and funny glances. And that's kind of something I do struggle with, but I feel that being proactive and letting people know who you're going to be spending large amounts of time with, that you do stutter, is so important whenever I'm in a new group of people at school, in a new table or pod. I give them a heads up. I'm like, hey, I stutter. And then they know, and then there's no more questions or kind of, them thinking of the worst case scenario, and now they know and it's over, and that's it.
This is Stutter Talk, Peter Righteous with Sarah Berkowitz, who is standing strong in high school. I look back on high school as such a tough time, and
yeah.
just the you know, I would have never contacted a teacher about my stuttering in high school. I was such in a covert hole about it. So, I'm happy for you. I mean, I know it's not easy, you know, but you're such a great role model. I have to ask, so after you send the email, do you go up to the teacher in class and say, hey, I'm the girl who stutters who sent you that note, or do you hope they come up to you, or is there a way that you break that ice?
Yeah, I definitely do come up to them and be like, you know, hey, I'm not sure if you got if that email, but I'm Sarah. And a lot of times I feel like to break tension from stuttering, because I feel like people get uncomfortable when they find out, I'll make like a joke about it, or I'll be like, hey, well, you can probably already tell, but I'm the girl who stutters who sent you that email.
Yeah, and I have to ask, because I'm such a stuttering dork, when this happens, do you ever find yourself not stuttering because you want to, or is that not an issue for you?
What do you mean, like not stuttering?
Well, I've had the experience that when I've wanted to talk to somebody about my stuttering, say, hey, by the way, I'm a stutterer, that's probably the last time I'm going to stutter, because yeah. I'm probably not going to stutter at that point. Do you experience that too, where like, when you want your stuttering, you know, to sort of yes. show people I'm really real here, it doesn't happen?
I know for me, like, that's definitely the case sometimes where, you know, in the few moments I want to stutter because I'm talking about stuttering, I don't stutter. And a big example of this is I was introducing a Holocaust speaker at my school in front of my whole junior class of 1,000 kids. And Aaron Elster, his kind of main message is that we need to kind of comprehend history, and we need to be there for each other, kind of understand what has happened in the past. And, you know, I brought up, you know, although nothing like what Mr. Elster experienced, as someone who stutters, I know firsthand how it feels when people don't see you as a person, but rather as someone who is different. And when I was saying this, I didn't stutter. And afterward, when I finished my speech and I sat down, I'm like, I didn't stutter, and I really needed to stutter at that moment.
Mm. Wow, that's exactly what I was getting at. Let me ask you, do you have time for one last question?
Yeah, sure.
So I found that I invited you on Stutter Talk because of your wonderful post on Stuttering Arena, and I found another recent guest, Kyla Simmons, because of something she had posted on Stuttering Arena. And we were talking about that a little bit off air. And so Kyla, to remind the listeners, Kyla Simmons was allegedly detained at an airport for about an hour because she stutters. And you had a response or some thoughts on some way to change the world. What are you thinking of?
Well, for me, hearing of an experience like that was so scary, because that's something I feared for such a long time. I recently got my driver's license, and I don't want to be, you know, pulled over for a broken taillight and then all of a sudden going through a field sobriety test because of my speech. And I am in the process of trying to pass a law to make an official stuttering identification card. And I know the Stuttering Foundation has already made a print out card. And as great as that is, I do believe that because stuttering has been, or because these these incorrect ideas of stuttering have been in the media for years and years. We need something more than a conservative fix, you know, starting with Porky the pig, this anxious, stuttering character, all the way through to so many things, Family Guy, all of these shows, and just other forms of media do kind of make stuttering characters as anxious characters who aren't smart. And, you know, that's not right. And they should not be the butt of the joke. And because these views have been kind of in our society for such a long time, we need something more official, more official for law enforcement officers to fully understand the gravity and that this is a real thing, because I know we've all encountered people who are so stubborn, and you try to explain what stuttering is, and they're like, oh, no, nonsense, stuttering's from anxiety. And I think that we really need something better to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And, you know, there's always the argument that this card is enough, especially if you advocate for yourself. But so did Kyla Simmons. She told them she had a stutter, and that wasn't enough. And I feel that's why we need something more official, more concrete, that that people can't question as being false.
That is such an amazing idea. I've never heard anyone suggest that. And I don't know if this is what you meant, but when you were saying it, I was imagining a regular driver's license with a little spot at the bottom that might, yeah, that might say disability colon stuttering or autism or something like that. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, either something as simple as a driver's license or a separate card, similar to the Stuttering Foundation's card, that you know, even shorter, briefly explains stuttering and then has an official stamp or seal on it. Yeah, so.
Wow, that is a great idea. My gut reaction is, and I know that you mean it's voluntary. Like, you're not saying that every person who stutters must have this on their ID.
Of course.
Yeah. And so I would think, my gut is that it should be part of a regular driver's license, because when a police officer pulls you over, he doesn't want you to hand him anything except the driver's license.
Yeah.
And so to me, it should be on the driver's license. And I'm sure there'll be pushback to that idea, but as long as it's voluntary, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I am still trying to figure out how to work with the whole legal system and how to kind of get this going, because I don't know a lot about how to pass a law and kind of going about that, but it is something I am in the process of doing.
Good luck. I'm excited to know you. I hope if you have any traction on this at all, you'll come back on air and tell us about this, because that is
sure.
That's something that it's not every day I hear something new, and it's not every day I hear a good idea or an interesting idea. Again, it might not be a good idea to everybody, but to have that as an option, I think is a great idea. So, Sarah Berkowitz, I want to thank you for joining us on Stutter Talk today, and I hope you'll come back and join us sometime.
I will. Thank you so much.